Well, our five senses are powerful memory holders. You know, smell, a taste, a sound can evoke just a flood of memories. You know, maybe for you, maybe the smell of wood smoke reminds you of camping adventures, maybe with your dad and your mom when you were children. Or maybe a particular candle scent reminds you of Christmas. There can also be awful things that come to mind. When our septic tank needed repair, the person inspecting it, I mean, just stopped and he said, "Ugh, that smell. I'm having a flashback to Vietnam." He was a Vietnam veteran. Ugh. Well, in our study today, we encounter Peter denying Jesus three times before the rooster crowed, as Jesus predicted. And ever after that, do you wonder what the sound of a rooster crowing evoked in Peter? I wonder if every time Peter heard a rooster, he felt shame. It just washed over him because it was a constant reminder of this colossal failure in his life. Well, as we unpack Peter's denial, you know, perhaps there's some memory of a past failure in your life that just continues to announce itself. And if so, as we will see with Peter, there is really good news ahead for us. Let's look at this from Matthew 26, beginning at verse 26. "Now, as they were eating, Jesus took bread and after blessing it, broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, 'Take, eat, this is my body.' And he took a cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, 'Drink of it, all of you, for this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. I tell you, I will not drink again of this fruit of the vine until the day when I drink it new with you in my Father's kingdom.' And when they had sung a hymn, they went out to the Mount of Olives. Then Jesus said to them, 'You will all fall away because of me this night, for it is written, I will strike the shepherd and the sheep of the flock will be scattered. But after I am raised up, I will go before you to Galilee.' Peter answered him, 'Though they all fall away because of you, I will never fall away.' Jesus said to him, 'Truly, I tell you, this very night before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' Peter said to him, 'Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you.' And all the disciples said the same." Verse 69, this is now a few hours later. Jesus has been arrested. Peter has followed from a distance. And here we pick the rest of the story up. "Now, Peter was sitting outside in the courtyard, and a servant girl came up to him and said, 'You also were with Jesus the Galilean.' But he denied it before them all, saying, 'I do not know what you mean.' And when he went out to the entrance, another servant girl saw him, and she said to the bystanders, 'This man was with Jesus of Nazareth.' And again he denied it with an oath, 'I do not know the man.' After a little while, the bystanders came up and said to Peter, 'Certainly, you too are one of them, for your accent betrays you.' Then he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, 'I do not know the man.' Immediately the rooster crowed, and Peter remembered the saying of Jesus, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And he went out and wept bitterly." In Matthew's gospel, this is the last mention of Peter. Now, he appears, obviously, with the group as the disciples are designated, called out after the resurrection. But this is the last time Peter's name appears. And I find it fascinating what Matthew's doing here, that here we the last time Peter's mentioned, he's a broken man. He's denied his Lord, and he's weeping bitterly because he has stumbled so badly. And I think Matthew is trying to tell us something about this, that in the midst of our stumblings, there still is great hope. And that's what we'll see in the story of Peter. But notice first the greatness of Peter's stumbling, the greatness of his stumbling. And by greatness, I don't mean good. I mean greatly horrible, how horrible it was. Peter stumbles and falls from a great height. Peter had elevated himself above all the rest. He thinks he's better than everybody else. You know, Jesus announces everyone's going to fall away. And Peter looks down on everybody else in this condescending fashion. Though they all fall away, I will never fall away. I mean, he's just like the Pharisee in the temple who's praying, I thank you, God, that I am not like other men. You know, we need to beware of comparing ourselves with others, you know, and how we stand or rank with Jesus. That never ends well. Peter thinks of himself as so far above the others, he thinks of himself even as above Jesus. I mean, he contradicts Jesus. Jesus has just told him, you will deny me three times, and Peter corrects him. Even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. You know, Peter is not merely telling Jesus that he's mistaken about how supremely loyal Peter really is. Peter is calling Jesus, subtly, he's calling Jesus a liar. And he's going to prove him wrong. Peter thinks of himself as the exception. Well, he sure is. He denies Jesus in an exceptional way. I mean, all the rest simply run away. Peter the braggart denies Jesus explicitly, not once, but three times. And with each denial, Peter, his stumbling just gets greater and greater. First, he pleads ignorance. I do not know what you mean. You know, haven't we all done that? You know, when we don't want to commit to something, I'm confused. I don't understand. I'm not the guy. After this, he takes an oath. And all oaths are sworn ultimately before God. So what he's saying here basically is, I swear before God, I do not know that man. Finally, in his third denial, he calls down curses on himself. You know, let my teeth rot and all my hair fall out if I even know the man. I don't know what the curses were. But it's a serious thing to curse yourself. He's calling himself an accursed thing rather than that his feet ever stood in the presence of Jesus. Feet that Jesus had washed just hours before. He denies ever seeing this one whose glory he saw on the Mount of Transfiguration with Moses and Elijah and Peter heard the Father say, this is my son, listen to him. All the miracles, all the teaching, all the travels, the meals, the life shared with Jesus Christ. Let me be damned if I've ever been with that man. It's as if Jesus was a virus. And Peter was trying to rid himself of contamination. This is how great this stumbling is. But what about you and me? Have our expressions of love and devotion to Jesus, real as they may be in the moment, ever crashed in the murkiness of denial? It's amazing, our stumblings. And like Peter, how even a perfect stranger can get us running scared. And we've all been there. Joe Kirkland was telling the session the other night that at a doctor's appointment, the intake clinician asked, and what is your greatest joy and hope right now? And Joe said, that Jesus Christ is my Lord and Savior. You know, we all cheered. Yay! I mean, that's awesome. That's the right answer. But I wondered, how would I have spoken? How would I have responded? How would you, before a perfect stranger, or maybe before your friends who put you on the spot, sometimes we stumble, we defect because we don't want to appear too religious, too conservative, as if we believe what nobody else believes. Sometimes we run scared, wanting to preserve our intellectual or social credibility. And so we jump on board. Yeah, those Christians are so narrow. Yeah, the church is so lame. But who are we really distancing ourselves from in that? I mean, the body of Christ, his church, it's still him. Jesus' body. And then there are subtle denials. A colleague at school or work says, hey, I'm running late. Sign me in as present. No, nobody will know. Everybody does it. But we live before the face of God. The Lord is present to every promise we make, every vow, every action, and, I mean, reality, every sin. And so to lie, to bear false witness, to commit any sin is a rejection of the Lord. And you see, this is the great horror of Peter's denial and ours. It's treating Jesus as if he were dead and of no importance in the moment. In fact, he's one to avoid. How could Peter get to this place? How do we? Well, notice second, the ground of Peter's stumbling. The ground of stumbling, it's his pride. And Peter just reeks of pride. Though they all fall away, I will never fall away. And he says, even if I must die with you, I will not deny you. And the foundation of Peter's faith is pride in himself. And what he fears is others looking down on him, perhaps even harming him. But we can't miss this with Peter. We can't walk on by. We've got to examine ourselves in this as well. I mean, the issue is, what are we truly basing our life and faith upon? Is it self or is it Jesus? You know, there's no doubt that Peter loved Jesus. I mean, at least he followed, right? Followed Jesus to the trial. But the foundation of Peter's faith was Peter's love for Jesus rather than Jesus' love for him. See, Peter's foundation was his own word, his own promise, his own resolve rather than the forgiveness of Jesus. Peter boasted about how he would be the hero for Jesus, rather than seeing how Jesus was the hero who alone could rescue Peter from Peter. Well, Peter is at a critical crossroads here, and one that every one of us must pass through. And it's the crossroads of what am I going to really ground my hope upon, my confidence, my assurance that I'm good to go with God, that I'm forgiven, that I'm saved? Will it be something in me? My love, my resolve, my good works, my commitment? Or will it be Jesus? His love, his resolve, his commitment, his good work on the cross. I think that this may be the thing, church, where we need the greatest repentance right now. Self-sufficiency rather than Christ dependency. Relying on self, what we can do, what we bring, what we force, rather than reliance on Jesus Christ and what he brings. Let me frame this another way. At the end of the day, whom will we deny? Jesus or ourselves? You know, Peter and Judas are actually on the same footing at this point. Each has denied Jesus and exalted self, but a breaking difference comes between these two. When the rooster crows, Peter is a broken man, and he dissolves in bitter tears. Well, this is the godly sorrow of repentance. You know, Judas felt worldly sorrow. He knew he was wrong, but he got stuck in himself. He wouldn't go to God with his wrong, and that's what led to his death. But Peter's bitter tears, they're a sign of a deep wound that has opened up in Peter as he remembers Jesus. Peter's heart has been broken to allow the fire of Jesus' love to come in and to burn away the pride from the landscape of his soul. And here's the thing. Only after such a breaking can Jesus' love really get in. And this is true for you and for me. There's no way around it. God enters by the wound. And the wounds of God in your life and in mine, where our pride has been humbled and we are broken and perhaps to tears. I mean, what a mercy. For through the wound, Jesus can enter with grace and love, and he does. Consider, finally, then, the really good news in all of this, the grace of Jesus for stumblers, the grace of Jesus for stumblers. When the rooster crows, Peter is broken because his ears are finally opened. He can finally hear Jesus. Verse 75, Peter remembered the saying of Jesus. Now, Matthew records that Peter specifically remembers Jesus' word about the rooster crowing. But that Peter doesn't run off and kill himself in despair, as Judas did, I believe it's because Peter also remembered other things that Jesus said that very night. At the Passover meal, he took the bread, he said, take and eat, and then he took the cup and he said, this is my blood of the covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. Hope for forgiveness has to be alive in Peter because of these words. And hope for us and all our stumbling is here as well. Though rejected, Jesus does not reject. Though betrayed, he does not betray. Though abandoned, he does not abandon. There's just this deeper field of vision in Jesus than our sin and our stumbling. This deeper field of vision is his vision of the Father and the Father's work of redeeming and forgiving sinners. You know, our sins, our denials, our betrayals, they are real. They wound Jesus. But there's no sullenness in him. There's no disgust. There's just this determined love, to love his own to the end. And his end is our forgiveness. My body, my blood is not poetic fluff. These words are the blood and guts of Jesus Christ poured out in death for our forgiveness. And so committed is Jesus to his own. So confident of a future with us that he speaks at the table, that he will not drink of this cup again until that day when he drinks it new with us in the Father's kingdom. He envisions a future for us and with him. He does this a second time after calling the disciples out on their coming failure. He says, I will go before you to Galilee. What? I mean, hear the grace in that. Jesus says, in effect, we are not done. Although you fail me, I will not fail you. We have a future together of forgiveness and restored relationship. My Father's kingdom in time and Galilee next week. I'll see you then. They are forgiven beforehand by Jesus. Well, what roosters might be crowing in your life? Any memories of past sins or present stumblings haunting you? Perhaps because of some sin, you feel as if you've ruined God's best, his plan A for your life, and now all you can hope for is the lower shelf plan B. But in Jesus, there are no plan Bs. Yes, we can sin and we can mess things up, but in God's economy, he only has plans for grace. The transformation of our lives by grace, and that is his plan A. This is not to say sin is okay or excusable. It's not, but it is to say Jesus is all we have. And we have all of him. My body, my blood given for you. Nothing withheld. And standing in that, standing in him, we are forgiven. Standing in him, he is able to redeem failed things. Standing in Jesus, he's able to bring good and useful things out of the stumblings of our lives that have broken and humbled us. You know, the rooster crowing that fateful morning led Peter to weep bitterly. And again, I wonder, from then on, what did a rooster crow evoke in Peter? I think it could not have evoked anything more or better than this, the reminder of what Jesus saved him from. From then on, all crowing was a fresh reminder of Jesus' forgiveness, of Peter's freedom from self, by recalling the goodness and grace of Jesus Christ in his life. Regardless of whether you've stumbled in the past or some repetitive failure is constantly tripping you up now, if you're stumbling, stumble toward Jesus. If you're falling, fall on Jesus. Whatever memory of past guilt announces itself to you at every turn, well, turn to Jesus and hear the announcement of forgiveness. Morning breaks with Christ, and fresh mercy is in him. So great is his grace, so wonderful, so lavish, that now any memory of a failure becomes opportunity for praise and thanksgiving for the one who does not reject us, but forgives, redeems, and restores. What a Savior. Amen.